and welcome to a Juno Afternoon. My name is Jamie Waste, and I'll be your host today. On the program, we'll be speaking with Valerie Hillier about Saturday's Garlic Lovers Potluck. We're going to learn about some yoga workshops with Jody from the Yoga Path. Grace Elliott will be here to tell us about this evening's community gathering in response to heroin overdoses and suicides in Juno. Deb Gazaway and Neal Johnson will be here to highlight Saturday's Juno Special Olympics Spaghetti Feed fundraiser. And Lauren Anderson will be here to give us an update on the Treadwell Ice Arena. All of that and more coming up next on a Juno Afternoon.
This is National Native News. I'm Tara Gatewood, in for Antonia Gonzalez. Not in our smokehouse, protecting Alaska Native ways of life. That's what elders and youth from urban and rural areas from across Alaska focused on during a three-day gathering wrapping up today in Anchorage. The smokehouse is an important part of Native life used as a way to preserve food. At this year's Elders and Youth Conference hosted by the First Alaskans Institute, the smokehouse was used to represent the protection and love for bodies, minds, and souls. Elder keynote speaker Gregory Freitas Sr. encouraged people to embrace their language and culture as a way to strengthen their lives.
Now, I'm too new, okay? Koosanistak, the language, we have to bring it out. Annach tumneenukutachriko. It shows us who we are. Ayagisanan, don't be ashamed of it. Agwaringamtakinagun, God made you that way. So, let everybody know who you are. When we get together, let's work together.
Freitas from the Pribilof Islands is a fluent speaker of the Unangam language. He called on elders and youth to not just talk about issues facing their communities, including substance abuse and domestic violence, but to take action to end them. And says people should hold politicians accountable for things they vowed to address, such as rising living costs in small villages where travel, food, and energy are highest.
So what can we do? Imichila, holler, change it. That's the only way we can. And really mean it. If your thoughts are good thoughts and you feel these thoughts can help other people, bring it out.
The elder has passed on cultural practices to LEU people for decades by teaching language circles and working with younger generations to instill traditional values. Native American students and University of Oklahoma administrators marked the first annual Indigenous Peoples Day Monday. As KGOU's Brian Hardzinski reports, it's the first official event since OU Student Congress passed a resolution recognizing the holiday in place of Columbus Day.
Dozens of students and faculty participated in a signing ceremony and tribal flag procession and march across campus. President David Boren said Native Americans have contributed to OU's culture since its founding through the arts, architecture, and curriculum.
And today, as we celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day, we celebrate especially the fact that in the face of injustice and tribulations and trials, that Native culture and Native American culture has not only survived, it has flourished.
Boren also announced a new tribal liaison position and a new center for tribal nations to study sovereignty issues. He also said, pending Board of Regents approval, OU's Native American Studies program would be elevated to department status in the College of Arts and Sciences. I'm Brian Hardzinski in Norman, Oklahoma.
The Denver City Council picked Columbus Day to pass a proclamation making October 12th Indigenous Peoples Day. The action is significant because Colorado was the first state in the nation to declare Columbus Day as a holiday in 1907. The Denver Post reports the proposal to honor indigenous populations passed unanimously. The proclamation states the city will continue to promote racial equality and justice for all people and oppose discrimination towards indigenous peoples. Colorado's celebration of Columbus Day was originally spearheaded by a newspaper publisher as a way to honor Italian-American heritage. I'm Tara Gatewood.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. You too can become a modern-day warrior. Stand firm with NARF. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And up first on the program today is the Garlic Lovers Potluck, and our guests in the studio are literally slicing open garlic as we speak. And no surprise, the aroma is already filling the studio. So I'd like to welcome. Ooh, it's so powerful. That would be garlic, right? So Valerie Hillier, Ed Bayarski, and Joe Orsi are all in the studio. And Valerie, I think I'm going to start with you. You're the president of the Juneau Garden Club. It's the Garlic Lovers Potluck, Saturday, October 17th at the Canvas from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m.
That's correct, yes.
So tell us about the Garlic Lovers
Potluck. Well, this is our second annual Garlic Lovers Potluck because last year we did this at the Canvas. We had a great turnout. We have three expert local garlic growers that will be speaking there, and two of them are here, Joe and Ed. It is a presentation of wonderful garlic dishes. So when you come, since it is a potluck, bring a dish that hopefully you have your own garlic or whatever you can provide, and make it that favorite dish that maybe you remember. And bring that along with you, and we'll all try that and share that together. It will be talking about harvesting, so it isn't just about garlic as a food item, but it is how to grow that, because the Juneau Garden Club is promoting and helping people to grow and provide for themselves too. So they will have their own personal preference of garlics plus others, and sharing the qualities of garlic, as well as us being able to taste it, and then how it can be used, whether it's in cooking or they've made salts. And we even had a little garlic wine last year from, I think it was from Gilroy, wasn't it, Ed?
Yeah. Yes, it was. Better than expected.
Yeah. So we're not limited to any dishes. If you make ice cream or, you know, whatever you would like.
So sky's the limit here?
The sky is the limit.
Has to be edible or drinkable.
Yes, please.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, well, you get smeared on your body, a body rub, whatever it takes.
Yeah. And make sure that everybody in your household does it, too.
So Halloween.
So this is you said the second annual. So
yeah.
The assumption is the first annual, the first one went well.
It did. Uh-huh. The same time of year, because garlic is being harvested, and so this is a great time of year to share it. And
it's also known as vampire repellent. So again, a seasonal item potentially. You know, some folks might take a bulb or a clove of this and hang it around the neck as something potentially therapeutic. Some folks use it, eat it regularly, start their mornings with a clove of raw garlic to keep away evil influences in their lives, or folks don't get too close to you, you're less likely to catch colds and other nasty stuff, I suppose. But we like to eat it, and luckily it's kind of important that you and your loved ones, partners, significant others kind of all partake. But I will bring a lot of parsley along in case folks have other engagements later that evening, so they can be more socially acceptable after. If you choose some parsley, helps to modify your breath and such. But it's all good.
So, and Joe, go ahead.
It's also a good crop to grow in Juneau, you know. A lot of us have grown everything from apples to zucchinis, and garlic is one of those crops that seems to thrive in Juneau once it gets the right culture methods.
Mm-hmm. So are you both bringing dishes to the event?
We all three, hopefully, are bringing dishes yeah. to the event. Yes, various things.
You might just be the organizer, so I thought I would ask.
Because we last year we did, and probably we'll have a little bit this year, too, of thin sliced raw garlic for folks to taste some of the differences. And there is quite a difference, although it can be very hot to start with raw, and very different roasted or sautéed or otherwise prepared. So that garlic really changes a lot, depending on the preparation time, if it's just briefly heated versus long simmered too. So that try to give people a little choice.
There's also many different varieties of hardnecks you can grow here in Juneau, and I brought in, you know, five examples of cloves of different varieties that I grow, and I've tried 43 different varieties, and over the last 10 years I've grown 15,000 bulbs and sold a lot of that in Juneau here.
Mm-hmm. The title Garlic Lovers, right away the word lovers leapt out at me because that is a word you associate with garlic. People love, well, maybe not everybody, but in general there's that reaction to garlic. People smell it and they go, oh, I just love the smell. There must be garlic in it.
Exactly. I think that, you know, I think of Italian dishes, let's say, and, you know, the romance of Italians and how they, you know, speak to one another. So, yeah, I agree with that, that it is it's something you do love. And so, and everything now, you know, it seems like everybody is kind of on that kick now with a lot more garlic. And also, like we were talking about, for food items, but it is also medicinal.
Mm-hmm.
I can't rattle off all the different, you know, value that it does have medicinally, but I know that a friend of mine would rub it on her feet with a wool sock. This her children too, and the colds of her children would be gone. And then she put a damp sock and then a wool sock over it, and it was just like maybe they were old wives' tales, but I don't think so. I think that a lot of those medicinal values of garlic is valuable to people.
So this is a potluck. Is it truly just wide open? People can bring whatever dishes or concoctions they want. Are you looking for certain things?
Oh, no. We want people to get creative with this stuff. And the other thing, too, we want them to bring a recipe so folks can see, assuming it's not the secret family recipe or whatever. But, yes, we want them to bring recipes. And the Garden Club did last year put together a little booklet with those recipes. So hopefully this year there will be more of them. To see more stuff for us to taste, and then whether you bring extra copies or people can take some notes or pull out their handy dandy smartphone and take a picture of the recipe, whatever it takes.
And just the setup, I mean, is it going to be people bring it in and people start sampling right away, or are you going to bring it up and kind of have it organized wait? And then...
There's a program, yeah. Uh-huh. We'll start with demonstrations and getting introductions with Ed, Joe, and David Love, who is another one of our speakers, a local gardener here too. And then we'll be doing some presentation and open it up for the potluck, and we will be having a garlic bread taste-off. We haven't quite got that one, excuse me, solidified yet, but there will be garlic bread there, and then we can taste the different varieties of garlic on those and then give our, you know, opinions and thoughts about it, too. And that might help with people wanting to know what variety they want to grow or, you know, might work for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, then there'll be a PowerPoint presentation that Joe will be giving about harvesting, cultivating, growing, and it's just from his own experiences. And then just enjoy the end of it with, you know, the rest of the potluck and enjoy one another.
I think the Garden Club, their book also has an article on the garlic growing, too, that I put together, and then got a website, shamelessly, I'll say it, Orsi Organic Produce, just Google it, and I've got kind of a how-to brochure there you can pull off the website for free. So.
And hopefully, well, I don't know if you're going to have any garlic to sell or to share. I'm going to have a little bit left, but between what I need to save for eating and get our planting, it won't be too much to sell for folks to buy on the spot.
I might have some to sell. I just kind of am left with these huge huge planting stocks here, but I don't want to sell it to commercial people because they'll compete with me like Ed. So I'll sell it to the normal person, the normal home gardener, but not the commercial guys.
And this is Is this free? This is free.
This is a free event.
Yeah.
Yeah. Open to the public, free event. And hopefully, you know, I know there may be a lot of state workers, but this is the time you can come over there. Just jot out over to the Canvas up there on Seward Street and meet us there at 4:30.
So this is the Garlic Lovers Potluck, but based upon the description, it's far more than just a potluck. There's a whole lot of information that will be available about garlic. So for people who are interested in learning more about garlic, great opportunity, and needless to say, to sample various dishes. And hopefully, I know Juneau's a super strong community for potlucks, so I'm going to bet you guys get quite a turnout. I hope you do. So this is this coming Saturday at the Canvas from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. It's the Garlic Lovers Potluck, sponsored by the Juneau Garden Club, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Big thank you to Valerie Hillier, Ed Bajarski, and Joe Orsi for coming in this afternoon. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
There are spices and vegetables that you can grow. Some are under the ground, some grow tall. Though they all have their qualities, this you must know, that the garlic is best of them all. The Egyptians, Phoenicians, the Vikings, the Greeks, Babylonians, Danes, and Chinese on their voyages took enough garlic for weeks, and their enemies died on the breeze. Since biblical times, in all parts of the earth, it has cured countless sufferings and ills. Oh, if we understood what the garlic is worth, we would throw out our poisonous pills. Bulgaria's mountains and Russia's white plains, people live to 100 years old. For it's juice of the garlic that runs in their veins. Oh, it's worth twice its weight in pure gold. With selenium, germanium, allicin too, it can fight off all types of disease. So if you've got arthritis, TB, or the flu, just say, peel me a garlic clove, please. Plant some cloves in your garden to keep away worms and the other bad things that kill plants. If you're one of those people concerned about germs, you can drop one or two in your pants. There are spices and vegetables that you can grow. Some are under the ground, some grow tall. Though they all have their qualities, this you must know, that the garlic is best of them all. Oh, the garlic is best of them all. Yes, the garlic is best of them all.
And thanks to Jeff Brown for, of course, finding a song about garlic to follow up the Garlic Lovers Potluck part of the show today. And up next on a Juneau afternoon, we have Jody Dixon in the studio. And Jody's with the Yoga Path, celebrating their one-year anniversary with some events coming up this Saturday. Welcome to the studio.
Yes, thank you.
Tell us about the one-year anniversary and the events that are planned.
Yeah, so pretty exciting to feel like it's been 1 year coming this October 17th.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you. So I feel like what better way to celebrate than have a free intro class to yoga. So if anyone is interested, they can stop by. It's 10:30 a.m. to noon, and you don't have to have ever done yoga before. The studio is on a second floor, so you just have to be able to make it up a flight of stairs.
And where are you located again?
We're on Shawn Drive, so just down the street from the Alaska Brewing Company.
Right. Okay. So you have the free talk.
And then later that evening, 6 o'clock, I'm going to do a casual talk on the key to yoga. And then there'll be time for people to visit, and either new people meeting students that are already practicing there, or students that practice together but never get to say, hi, how are you? Because they rush off after class to work or whatever else. So an opportunity for some social time, and there'll be some door prizes and snacks and tea.
That's the problem with that, right? You do something like yoga and you and you slow down and you get into that meditative space, and suddenly it's over and you have to rush off to work or to the rest of your life. But that's part of the point of yoga, right?
Yes. I have early morning classes, and those are the students that are typically the most consistent in their practice. That's how they start their day, early in the morning, and then they go to work and continue with that sort of mind space that they've created.
So maybe let's not overlook the fact that it might be good for the audience, for some people in the audience, just to have a basic thumbnail on what is yoga.
That's a great question, and it could be different for every person. In general, just a basic concept for most people in our Western society, it involves doing some sort of yoga posture or postures on a yoga mat. There's many different ways to practice yoga, and all of them, all methods, are ideally over a long period of time supposed to lead the practitioner to a state of peace and joy.
And for some people who maybe are not familiar with yoga, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there's stretching involved.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also like strength positions involved.
Yeah.
And there's also a meditative aspect involved.
Absolutely. And you can practice the yoga postures. And again, there's much more to yoga than just yoga postures, but that is often one of the things that we're drawn to, because many of us sit for a long time. You know, who over 30 doesn't get out of bed and go, ooh, that's a little sore. You know, pain is a very good motivator for us to get on a yoga mat and try to find some solution. And that can start with very gentle poses where there's a lot of support and it's just very slowly, easily asking the tight muscles to stretch. And you can have a very vigorous practice where you are equally asking the body to get strong and work in its full range of movement. So wide ranges of the spectrum of intensity and physical exertion.
And to do this, you kind of have to let go of the worldly stuff, right? And that's part of the meditative.
Yeah, when you move with your breath, and that is sort of the key of yoga. People say, you know, you have to move with your breath. And it's not just, oh, there's my inhale and I'm going to match my arm movement to that inhale. It's actually feeling all aspects, awareness and complete immersion to all sensation of the breath. And so that brings us very inward, and there's your meditative quality. That's it. It's as simple as that.
Yoga's been around a long time, but enjoying a renaissance in the last decade or so?
Popularity, and there's different theories, and one of them is just people are more stressed, people are busier, and they are missing that quality of calmness. And when people go through yoga, and I've heard this a number of times, even people who are into more of the vigorous style, and somehow they end up in a more gentle class, a little more breath work, and at the end, they're in this little yoga bliss, and they're like, wow, that was really great. I'm like, that's the moving with the breath part. That was your little mini meditation. And any kind of breathing exercise is essentially a form of meditation. It's a structured way to calm the mind down and not be so busy.
We're speaking with Jody Dixon of the Yoga Path, celebrating a one-year anniversary event this weekend, again with a free talk. And you mentioned that you also have a special workshop coming up.
Yeah. Fiona Stang is coming up from Vancouver, British Columbia, and she'll be here on the 23rd through 25th weekend, a variety of levels of workshops that she's offering, from more yoga therapy meditation to fairly vigorous classes. And she's an Ashtanga Level 2, authorized Level 2 teacher, which essentially means that she went to India a number of years, a number of times, months at a time, And her teacher, her guru, said, I authorize you to teach at this level. So there's not that many people actually worldwide with that level of certification. And really excited to have that level of teacher and sharing yoga with us here in Juneau.
Jody, why don't you just tell folks one more time what you're doing this Saturday?
And then, yeah, Saturday is free intro to yoga, 10:30 a.m. to noon. And in the evening, free talk, the key of yoga, at 6 p.m. And about 6:30 to 7:30, we'll just have some social time, some door prizes, tea and snacks, and anyone's welcome to drop by.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday, the 14th of October, 2015. It's the birthday of the poet E.E. Cummings, Cambridge, Massachusetts, 1894, a man out of step with his time, much more conservative politically than the writers he knew in New York, writing many poems in a naive style about the beauty of nature, about love. He came to wider public attention through his series of lectures at Harvard University. Though the faculty members did not much care for him, the students did, and by the end of the 50s, E.E. Cummings had become the most popular poet in America. It's the birthday of Dwight David Eisenhower, born Denison, Texas, 1890, a poor religious family. His mother was a pacifist. She wept when he told her he was going to West Point for college. In 1939, Eisenhower was stationed at a base in Louisiana, where he supervised the largest military games ever carried out in this country, a simulation designed to help prepare for a land war in Europe, planned the strategy for the invading army. And in December 1941, after the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, he was put in charge of the strategy for the Allied invasion of Europe. And it's the birthday of the short story writer Catherine Mansfield, born Wellington, New Zealand, 1888. She went to England for her schooling, then her parents brought her back to New Zealand. She found she no longer had anything in common with her family. She became one of the wildest bohemians in New Zealand, had affairs with men, women, lived with the Aborigines, published scandalous stories, moved back to London, lived in the bohemian scene there. But she did not write the stories that we know her for until her younger brother left for World War I and was killed 2 months later. She was devastated by his death, and she wrote a series of short stories about her childhood, including The Garden Party, which was her masterpiece. Here's a poem for today by Toni Morris entitled Nightingale. When our daughter was a baby, she'd sometimes cry and cry, raw-throated nightingale, heavy on evening shoulders, no solace in the rocking lullaby, warm milk, blue velvet blanket, nor in the whispered words, the quiet shush we'd loose while pacing back and forth across the wooden floors. Until one night, by chance, we needed diapers, and my wife, as tired as I, and needing, if not rest, at least another's voice to soothe the small disquiet in her chest, lifted Morgan from the crib, bundled her against the cold, and together we walked out beneath the stars that pulsed against the winter's crisp and piled into the car. And halfway to the store, heater blowing warm against our feet, we noticed the muffled wind that faintly buffeted the glass, the slapping, even rhythm of the concrete seams we crossed, and the silence but for heavy breathing coming from the car seat in the back. A poem by Toni Morris, Nightingale, from pulling at a thread published by Main Street Rag and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by Lumosity, introducing a 10-minute fit test to challenge memory, attention, and problem-solving to calculate baseline scores. Learn more at lumosity.com. And by the Poetry Foundation, you can subscribe to the Poetry Magazine podcast and the Poetry Off the Shelf podcast in the iTunes Store or listen at poetryfoundation.org. Engineered by Noah Smith, produced by Joy Biles. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Support comes from Alaska Island Community Services. If you're a parent and you smoke, here's what one child has to say about this.
I wish you'd quit smoking because there's so much of my life I want you to be a part of, like taking me to wrestling practice, teaching me to throw baseball for Little League, catching my first derby fish, watching me graduate from high school, and watching my kids, your grandchildren, grow and play. I wish you would stop smoking because there's so much both of us will miss out on.
This message brought to you by the Partnership for Tobacco-Free Southeast and Search.
I'd like to welcome into the studio Grace Elliott, and Grace is the leading organizer behind an event this evening, and it's a community gathering, which is in response to an alarming number of deaths in Juneau from heroin overdoses and suicide. This event is this evening from 5 to 8 p.m., is that correct?
Or? Probably 5:30 to 7:30. We do have to have time to clean up.
5:30 to 7:30, that's this evening. It's going to be at 360 Studio, which is right here at KTOO in downtown Juneau. Grace, welcome to a Juneau afternoon, and tell us about this event. What's the genesis of this?
This idea was first conceived several weeks ago, actually even before a young friend died. I was talking to a mother whose son had overdosed about a year and a half ago. And I just said in passing, I think it's time to do something, and she said yes. And then right after that, a young man who's been a friend since my son and nephew were in kindergarten with him, died of an overdose, and I immediately thought, just not one more person can die. Another young friend had died in May of suicide, and I felt like I was watching my children's generation disappear, and they were disappearing without their broader community even being aware of it. Because when people die of suicide or they die of an overdose, there's such a stigma attached to it that it doesn't become broadly known. Families very understandably feel self-protective because they don't need the judgment or that stigma that's attached to it. Unless you're personally connected to somebody that has died in that way, you may never know it. And I thought it's really time for our broader community to begin to understand how serious and how broad and deep this problem is. And a lot of people right now, understandably and necessarily, are focusing on heroin overdose and the epidemic of heroin. That's very important work. But I'm pulling the camera back because I'm seeing also a lot of suicide. And so I feel that those are symptoms of the same problem in our community. So I am hoping to keep the awareness there as many people, I think when tragedies happen like this, one on top of the other, people want to jump to what looks like the source of the problem, and it looks like heroin is the problem. And I'm holding the idea that there's something more here that we need to look at. But the first thing that we need to realize is there are a lot of grieving families and friends here, and we feel isolated in our grief very often. And this is a great opportunity for people to come together and say, wow, someone else has experienced what I've experienced. And just to be in the same room with people who have lost a child or a sister or brother, I think, is a healing thing. So what we would like to do is also be an uplifting presence in the community. And I'm really grateful to Bill Legere because I kind of just rolled up to him and said, you know, I envision doing this event. And I thought of the 360 North studio. It's so beautiful and cozy and friendly. And we just did a memorial there for Rich DeRue. And I thought, oh, this is a lovely space. And I've always thought of public radio and public television as being the center of the community. You know, I've been a volunteer here for a quarter of a century nearly. And when I talked to Bill and I said, this is a community center and it would be nice if we could use it that way. And he said, okay. So just to let people understand, just because it's a television studio doesn't mean we're recording. There will be no recording. Members of the press have said they would like to come and but not as in that role, simply as members of the community. Other people have talked to me about it, and I thought they were very respectful. So we're just asking everybody in the community that wants to understand a little more deeply and just meet their friends and neighbors and learn a little bit. I'm hoping that a lot of people will come to listen to other people's experiences. So there are folks that are coming whose grief is very fresh, so just be aware of that. And we're also holding the space for people to come in. We're going to have some food. We'll do a very brief introduction and kind of statement of our intention for the evening. And then there's going to be time for people to get some food, greet each other, talk to each other a little bit. We're going to have some big posters around where people can write down their ideas of what they think the heart of the problem is, what they think some solutions may be. And I hope we have at least a couple of giant posters that are, what's your wildest, beautiful dream for Juneau? What do you envision the highest, best good coming out of this to be? Because I know, I've been in this community 35 years. This is one of the most creative communities and kind of do-it-yourselfer community. And I know that we could be a model for the nation. One of the things that people have been talking about around the heroin problem is a police station in Gloucester, Massachusetts, that is now dealing with people when they come in for problems related to addiction, they automatically get sent to rehab. It is not, they don't get booked, nothing. They just take them to rehab. And if they come out and they're successful for a while and then they relapse and they go back to the police station, they're guaranteed that they're going to be sent to rehab. So that is a remarkable thing that a lot of people, I think, want to see happen but think it's unattainable. But here's this community that did it. And I feel like Juneau can be the community that did it with uplifting people. We're in a very extreme kind of climate. A lot of people suffer from seasonal affective disorder and other kind of things that can, they're these extreme conditions that we live in, the extreme dark and the, you know, the rain, the relentless rain. I don't have to tell you about that. And we're moving into these dark days. We just need to take into account that there's a lot of things that when combined can really tip the balance for people. But if we reach out to each other, if you have a hand to hold on to, if you can grab someone's hand and you know they're suffering and just agree that you're going to hang on to that hand until someone's got their other hand, you know, we can help each other make it. There's a lot of really creative ideas coming from people about how to deal with depression, how to deal with addiction. And I see us creating out of this some really innovative ideas for both mental health and for addiction rehabilitation kind of centers.
Well, I don't think I need to ask any questions. I think you've done a wonderful job of summarizing the purpose behind the event this evening. So again, that's this evening. It's a gathering in response to the alarming number of deaths in Juneau from heroin overdoses and suicide and other substance abuse related illness and diseases. So
yes.
It's this evening. It's from 5:30 to 7:30 at the 360 studio right here at KTOO. So, Grace, thank you for organizing this. And then just for people who maybe are thinking, not quite sure if they want to attend.
Should I come?
Yeah.
Yes,
but
you should.
they should, but the invite here is, I mean, they're not expected. They can just be there and just absorb and listen. That can be the extent of what they do. Correct?
Come and have some of Miss Pat McClear's chili, or I made kitchery. Yes. The idea is just to come together. This part, that was a long-winded explanation about the beginning of it and the vision ultimately. Tonight is just a simple meet, greet. If you would like to contribute some ideas of your vision, great. If you'd like to come and listen, that's an important part of this whole thing too. So please come.
Grace, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
I'd like to welcome into the studio Deb Gazaway, is that the correct pronunciation? Mm-hmm. And Niall Johnson. They're both here with the Juno Special Olympics. Specifically, it's the 11th annual Spaghetti Feed and Dessert Auction fundraiser for Juno athletes, and that's coming up, that's this weekend, correct?
Yeah.
Is it on
Saturday, October 17th.
Saturday, October 17th, and at what time?
4:30 to 7 p.m.
And is it at the Thunder Mountain High School?
Thunder Mountain High School it is.
Thunder
yes,
Mountain
sir.
High School.
Very good. Well, thank you both for coming in. The 11th annual, that's pretty impressive. Anything that's been going on that many years. And has it been a spaghetti feed for...
Spaghetti Feed and a Dessert Auction for the entire time. It's one of our two major fundraisers that we hold every year.
Mm-hmm. And what's the other major fundraiser?
The other one we do in conjunction with the law enforcement community in the springtime, and it's called the Torch Run.
Oh, that sounds familiar. Yeah.
Good.
So,
we like it when it sounds
so
familiar.
Special Olympics. I think a lot of people know what it is, but why don't you, I'm not sure who's going to go, whether it's going to be you, Niall, or you, Deb, but tell us about Special Olympics. What is it?
Special Olympics is people that are disabilities.
Right.
And they do basketball, track and field, bowling, swimming, and weightlifting.
Yeah, Special Olympics began back in the 1950s and early 60s. And it was Eunice Kennedy Shriver that started Special Olympics. Her oldest sister, Rosemary, was born with an intellectual disability. Now, back in those days, there was a lot of social stigma attached to that, so it was a closely held secret for years. You may remember other Kennedys, our President John Kennedy and Senators Robert and Ted Kennedy as well. Particularly appalling to her was the fact that kids with disabilities didn't even have a place to play. So in the late 1960s, she started a backyard camp, and from that has grown the Special Olympics movement. Today, our goal is to reach out to the 200 million people in the world who have intellectual disabilities, which affect all people, races, and countries. And then through the power of sports, people with intellectual disabilities find new strengths and abilities, skills, and success. Our athletes find joy, confidence, and fulfillment on the playing field and in life, and really do inspire people in their communities and elsewhere to open their hearts to a wider world of human talents. Right now, we're training in bowling, and Niall is one of our 23 bowlers this year. Niall, are you going to have local games coming up soon?
Yeah.
You've been training hard since August for that, haven't you?
Yeah, and then I was doing the torch one up in Anchorage, and I was the first one who got the light torch.
Back in 2001, Niall was a member of the Juno delegation to the World Olympics up in Anchorage, Alaska. That was our host city.
Mm-hmm.
And Niall did the final leg of the torch run then and lit the torch signifying the beginning of World Games.
This has become, it's a huge program now, worldwide, correct?
Yes, it is worldwide.
Yeah. So it's incredible to see something powerful like this grow. And then here in Juneau, we're a big enough town to be able to tap into this. And
surprisingly, there's over 2,000 athletes in Alaska that actually train with Special Olympics. Here in Juneau, we have about 35, although it's estimated that upwards of 200 people could be reached within our community.
Mm-hmm. And Niall, you're one of those athletes. Congratulations.
Thanks.
So the fundraiser that's coming up, what are these funds, how are they used? What programs, how do the athletes benefit from these dollars that get raised?
Well, it does cost money to participate. For example, when we train at the bowling alley, they do give us a discount, but it does run close to $200 every week for our 23 athletes to bowl. Additionally, should we qualify to go to state games, we expect one to two teams will, each local community pays the way for their athletes to go to the state games and then pays a registration fee. So most of the money that we raise stays in the community or it goes for airfare.
Mm-hmm. Niall, so it's bowling right now. Are you an athlete all year long? Are there other sports that you're also participating in?
I did bowling. And I did track and field and shot put and the 50-meter run and the 100-meter run.
Uh-huh. And do you like them all equally, or is there one that you like more than the others?
The shot put.
The shot put? Is that the one that you're the best at?
You've had a few golds in the shot put over the years.
Congratulations. We have a gold medalist in the studio.
And then I got to meet Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Wow.
Shrivers. And Melissa Joan Hart and Malcolm Middle's mom.
Whew. Excellent. Congratulations on all of that.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger is short.
And did you tell him that? Or No, you didn't need to. Who knew? That's on television.
And then the Schreier's mom was the first one who got to do Special Olympics in 1976?
I think 1968, Niall, I believe, was the first camp Shriver.
Yeah.
Eunice Kennedy Shriver was quite a woman, wasn't she?
Yeah, she passed off.
Yeah, she passed away a few years ago. But she has certainly left a legacy.
Yeah.
So the fundraiser is this Saturday at Thunder Mountain High School, and it's a spaghetti feed.
And then they have a cookies, candy, cakes, and pies.
Got to have some sweets in there to go along with that spaghetti.
Yeah, we have a silent auction that goes along with the spaghetti feed. And it's not just limited to food. Our local merchants are real generous to us. So I'm sure we'll have some surprises there for you this year if you come on out.
And turnout, is it always a strong turnout? Do you always get a good showing?
Well, you know, it does vary year to year.
Yeah.
And we're certainly hoping for a strong turnout. You know, tickets have been selling, but there's still more available. You can get them at the door. Or you can stop by Curves at the airport shopping mall anytime before Saturday.
And the tickets are $10.
What a bargain. What a bargain. Well, it sounds like a wonderful event. It's the Juno Special Olympics 11th Annual Spaghetti Feed and Dessert Auction. And it's this Saturday at Thunder Mountain High School. What time again?
4:30 to 7 p.m.
Very good. Niall Johnson, thank you for coming in. Deb Gazaway, anything else you wanted to mention before we switch gears here?
I just want to thank the merchants and the community that have helped us. They've been real generous this year, and particularly the Travel Lodge that donates all the food that we use to prepare the spaghetti.
Well, thank you, and all the volunteers that are involved with making an incredible program like this possible.
Our coach for Bowman is Lee Lewis.
And thank you to Lee Lewis. All right, thank you both for coming in.
Thank you, Jamie.
All right.
This is Bird Note. The birds' voices declare, in no uncertain terms, that autumn is once again upon us. In the golden sunlight of an October morning, a Lincoln sparrow sings energetically from a hedgerow. And soon, a fox sparrow chimes in. Both nested at higher latitudes or well up in the mountains last summer, but will spend September to May at lower latitudes or elevation. In October, massive movements of birds take place across the continent. The exodus of summer visitors to the tropics has given way to a surge from the north. The brambles twitch with sparrows. Blackbirds flock by the thousands. Bays and lakes sparkle with water birds, loons, grebes, dabbling and diving ducks. Many of them nested well to the north on tundra ponds. The sandpipers called dunlins now swarm south to winter along both coasts by the many thousands. Close behind are the predators, northern nesting merlins, peregrines, and sharp-shinned hawks, following south their winged prey. Get BirdNote whenever you want when you sign up for our podcast at birdnote.org. I'm Michael Stein.
And I'd like to welcome Lauren and Sarah Lynn into the studio. They're here to talk about, well, it's kind of a Treadwell Arena update, but there's some special events that are a part of this update. And Lauren, I have this poster. It says Purple Ice. And you don't see that every day, a poster talking about Purple Ice. So tell us about the Purple Ice at the arena.
All right. Well, thanks for having us today. So today, this evening, from 6:30 to 8 o'clock, is our Paint the Ice Purple. The ice will actually not be painted purple, but we will have lights, and we will have a whole purple theme because this is in honor of Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and purple is the color for the month. And it's a partnership with the Alaska Now Women's Group and the Aware Shelter, and it's just to bring awareness of domestic violence, and it's regular admission, and if you bring in a new towel, that's a donation to the Aware Shelter, and you get free skate rental. So there will be a table set up with folks from the Aware Shelter and Alaska Now educating our community about domestic violence awareness, and we're really excited to offer this skate. We did this for the first time last year, and wear purple. If you wear purple, we will actually have some prizes. So they're $10 gift certificates for the Breeze Inn, McDonald's, Subway, Imagination Station, Hearthside Books, Bullwinkles, Juno Froyo, a skating lesson with me, and some skate passes. So we're excited about that, and we hope you all can come and skate and honor Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
Sarah Lynn, Aware is such a critical organization in our community and the services that are provided, and I know that you folks for years have always partnered with different, you know, entities and organizations in town. How did this one, you said this second annual, so that's a good sign. It's coming back for a repeat. Where did this idea come from?
Well, as I understand it, the idea came from Alaska Now. Mm-hmm. They did partnerships with other domestic violence sexual assault programs in the state, and they were looking to come to Southeast. to Juneau.
Yeah, they wanted to, they had requested that we paint the ice purple for the month of October last year, and we were unable to meet that request. So we offered this in as a solution and as a partnership and a combination. So it was a way to make awareness happen.
And, of course, as a nonprofit, it's always wonderful when the community partners come to you and say, hey, how can we have this idea about supporting your work and survivors of domestic and sexual violence? Would you like to skate the ice purple? Love to.
Yeah, and we just thought it made sense to talk with Sarah Lynn and the Aware Shelter and bring that aspect into this skate to bring more awareness to
And so for either one of you here, is this mostly just social and fun? Is there a certain amount of presentation or information exchange or this, you know, what, give us a sense of the feel of the event here.
I think the feel is fun, yeah, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, there'll be information for people, and of course we're very happy to talk to anybody. So we want people to know that the resources are there and they're available. And, of course, come and skate.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Come and skate. But then we'll have the information there for folks. So they can just come to the rink and find information about domestic violence awareness. And
it's a safe way, actually, for people to get information. You know, it might be difficult for someone to make a call to AWARE and say, this is happening to me, or should I be concerned, or I am concerned. Whereas if you can just anonymously, you happen to be skating and, hey, here's some information. Oh, you know, so sometimes that can help. Or people who are looking to help others or have concerns for the safety of their friends or neighbors, coworkers, people in their faith community, just to get a little bit more information.
So, again, this special event at the arena is this evening.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. It's a disco skate. So we'll have our
skate.
Yeah, we'll have our
you got a ball.
We
that
do.
You do. Oh,
yeah,
excellent.
Yeah. And we'll have some lights, some purple lights, and we'll have a lot of purple. We encourage folks to wear purple, and it should be very fun. Last year was really fun and successful, and we're looking forward to it again this year. And don't forget, if you want free skate rental, to bring a new towel for a donation for the Aware Shelter.
Right, and those are great because, of course, all our residents, we like to give them towels for their personal use, and so this really supports that as well.
So I'm looking at the window, and I realize the weather is kind of nice this afternoon, but it hasn't exactly been that great lately. And I was thinking about the ice arena, and I was thinking about, well, there's a place you can go to get out of the rain but actually have some activity. So in addition to the special event this evening, you've got some other special events coming up. I read some about Halloween coming up.
Yeah, we have our Halloween skate, which is Friday, October 30th. From 6:45 to 8:15, again, it's going to be dark and maybe even scary. We transform the arena into kind of a ghostly Halloween extravaganza, and we decorate and we encourage costumes. It's also regular admission, but we have treats and we have a costume contest, and so, again, that's Friday, October 30th from 6:45 to 8:15.
And I imagine with the fall season here and kids back in school that the arena is probably cranked up and pretty busy these days.
We are. The youth intro to hockey just started last week, and the first two sessions are free, so they had one session last Saturday, and this session is free. So if you're interested in trying out hockey, this is normally for kids 5 and under. That's through the JDIA, Juneau Douglas Ice Association, the youth hockey program. And that's from 10:30 to 11:30 this Saturday, and it's for everyone, and it's free, and they've got gear. And it's a great opportunity to come and try out skating. The Juneau Skating Club has their lessons going on. They'll have their second of 4 sessions starting up mid-November. They're just finishing up their first session. Adult hockey is going strong, and then there's always recreational skating, pond hockey, stick and pucks. So you can always check out our website at www.juneau.org/parksrec/ice-rink.
Sarah Lynn and Lauren, thank you very much for coming in on a Juneau afternoon today.
Thanks for having us.
This is KTOO Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. We also rebroadcast on translators K276AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creeks, K210AM in Gustavus, K220BT in Hoonah, and K210AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. In Juneau, KTOO is on GCI Cable on digital channel 871. We're also online at ktoo.org. Support for national programming on KTOO comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like